Welcome to Thundercast, Thunder Tech's podcast where we give you our take on what's new in marketing, what's cool, what's lame, and why you should care.
Hey marketers, welcome back. I'm Justin Smith, head of UX here at Thunder Tech. You know, you might notice I sound a little bit different. I'm on cold meds today, so spring is here, everybody's a little sniffly, it's the way things go. And maybe an unintentional result of that, Craig Israel, our creative director, co-host here, is out. Not sure where the heck he is, probably sick too. But we're not too worried about that because we got two very special guests here today. I am joined by Bruce Williams.
Hello.
Hey, Bruce. Bruce is the head of our development department here at Thunder Tech. And last but not least, Jason Therian.
Howdy.
Jason is the head honcho around here, so...
Some days.
So the big cheese. And we are here today talking about the marketing stack. So it's this thing that's been a pretty hot topic around the office these days. Bruce has been kind of leading the charge on this. Bruce, tell us, what the heck is this marketing stack?
The marketing stack sounds big, sounds glorious. It's the concept of using a multitude of tools, platforms, right? So the top ones that come to mind when you're a marketer, and you know, be it editing your website or managing all your contacts, it's content management system, your customer relationship management system, and then a platform to send your email. And you can even, you know, you could do the proliferary, the ancillary supporting platforms too, and add that to it, like Google Analytics. You know, that is a, you know, small component of your marketing stack.
Yeah, so you're talking about all of these digital tools that we use kind of all wrapped up into one thing, and how they play together and how they...
Yeah, how they communicate. I call it, you know, the plumbing. You integrate them, make sure they're talking with one another, and
no leaky pipes.
Yeah, no leaky pipes. Garbage in, garbage out. The tool sets combined today are becoming more of a necessity than a nice to. Right? Gone are the days of just a single website with I can just use this, not connected to anything else, and go about my day.
Well, it feels like we've been waiting for this forever, though, too, right? Anybody that's been in this space since, you know, Thunder Tech was started in the late 90s, you always had pieces and parts of these things, and you saw them kind of moving along, and really in the last just couple of years, I think it was a little more accepted and also technically feasible as the APIs, matured and more data could be pushed and pulled out of these systems, and more, frankly, went up to the cloud, too, right?
You know, yeah.
The cloud.
Yeah. Yeah, like to your point, like 10 years ago, you'd get an army of IT guys standing in your way before, and not necessarily standing in your way, but having to vet the options.
Jason, you mentioned APIs. Just real quick explanation for those less techie people out there. Bruce, give us an idea of what an API is.
Yeah, API is pretty much the handshake, or when we talk about the plumbing, it's the pipe from your one system over to another system. So it's a typical use case is if I submit a form or sign up for an account on your e-commerce store, that information not only is stored in that e-commerce platform, but also in my company's ERP system or CRM, your customer relationship management tool.
Okay, so it's like it's the kind of the way that these things communicate with each other, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I think people are understanding that concept with the, it's not unlike the, if you're signing in with your Facebook account and all these other websites other than Facebook.
That's a really great analogy. And, you know, Jason, I think you were kind of hitting on this, is just that why this is really a hot topic right now, why it's so important is that these things are starting to merge and they are starting to play really nicely together. So you might have, you know, like you mentioned, Google Analytics and your CMS and maybe like Salesforce. And these things all work really well, you know, on their own. But when you start to connect them together, like they become huge, they become really powerful. Can you talk about some of the cool integrations that you've seen, Bruce?
Okay, yeah, craziest integrations. So, and I guess, how do you want to phrase crazy? I guess the most, the
well,
ones
we're not,
that...
we're not talking spring break crazy, right? Like, let's just talk about what you've seen that's pretty sweet.
I'll go the most impactful, right? Okay. That I thought the best results came from. We had one client that was pushing folks to go back to school, right? And it was targeting the high school students. Mm-hmm. And so on their website, which is a WordPress site, they would be able to create an account, tell them exactly what age group or what grade they're in, right? And that information was then fed into Salesforce first, salesforce.com, and it could be any CRM, right? Mm-hmm. I paid this one with explicit platforms, but then it went over to Eloqua, which has a synchronization. And Eloqua, for those that don't know, is a automation email service platform provider that then had a queued up automation campaign that would look for A, where you are in your grade as a student, and then B, send you the appropriate information according to your grade at a regular cadence, monthly, quarterly, et cetera. So it was a great example of how, you know, the connectivity of it all from me, the student, entering my information in the system, being able to, intelligently send me information that's important to me. Mm-hmm. So that was...
This was an app? You said this was a website, right?
Just a regular website. You had WordPress with the CMS that mm-hmm. they controlled the content, and then the user entered their information, and then it fed through Salesforce, and then the pipe over to Eloqua. And a lot of these platforms, it's really just, they're really turnkey, most of them, with the regular objects of information that are passing back and forth.
But on the app side, I think there was one recent memory, and this is where I like, because it enables people out in the field, right? It's like, everyone's got enough stuff on their plate as a professional, and then you're asking them to fill out paperwork, and all these details that are important, but frankly, they're typically not enjoyable. And many times they get in the way of doing the job right because they're put off. So we've built systems, enterprise sales apps, as I guess they're called, mm-hmm. a fancy name. But that these apps can live on phones or tablets and are only available within an enterprise to, usually it's folks out in the field, whether it's a technician or a salesperson, et cetera. And you know, for this particular one, we took their CRM, their ERP system, their enterprise resource planning deal, and a separate inventory group, some assets that were pulled via feeds from their website, and also a feed right into their email solution, mm-hmm. and put one simple single interface in for salespeople that they could enter the data in real time, hit submit, and then it pushed out into these like five different systems. So they didn't have to do it when they got back home at night or back in the morning or scribble it down in the car or call it in. It was just done right then and there. And then you made the systems do the hard work.
Yeah.
So people shouldn't.
Exactly. Yeah. Like let's let the computers do the work for us. You know, and while you were talking about that, I was just thinking a really cool application would be something like for trade shows, right? Where it is a lot of that like one-on-one communication and, you know, you're entering in all this data later. Like let's just automate it and get it going and kind of put somebody into a system and let the system kind of just work itself out.
Yeah, it's, I mean, the marketing, when you connect these systems, you're on the surface, it looks like, oh, we're just collecting data. But really, you're enabling a lot of other people at the party to do really great things. So it's not just, hey, I'm a marketer, I'm going to edit my website, and I'll occasionally download the whoever filled out the form and send it to the sales guy. But it's really, you're inviting that sales guy to that real-time data. And you're inviting your CEO, you're inviting your coworkers, you're inviting all these customer service reps with real, you know, you're cutting down the barriers to entry to actually go to the next conversation of how we get better.
Free the data, man.
Free the data.
Yeah. Love it.
So I want to talk a quick about two more things. One, I want to get into kind of where this is headed in the future, but let's talk about kind of the current trends right now. I mean, I think one of the things that you guys have touched on a lot is just automation and, you know, automation systems and how that works.
Yeah. And it goes back to some of the ability to put a little more science into it. It's not just the gut feel and sometimes the artistry of people doing whatever they think is best, that you can actually set best practices and have them followed. And there's gonna be a lot of iteration around it and exceptions. And of course, the person still is needed at times, but that's the ability from an education standpoint, especially with clients that have long sales cycles, right? It's like, do you want the sales guy showing up on your doorstep every Friday with donuts just to stay in front of you? I mean, some people might, but after you gain 100 pounds, you know, after a 6-month cycle, it's like, you know, you can stop coming. Like, we will call you when we need you. So is it better than to just have a drip campaign to actually send things of value versus kind of kicking your way into these organizations? And, you know, that might be video or content, white papers, but it's a value exchange. And that's a whole nother
topic.
Donuts
are pretty valuable, right?
Donuts can be valuable until that 100 pounds needs to come off.
Bring vitamins.
Right. I guess you could deliver vitamins.
Every other.
Donuts with vitamin sprinkles?
No, but that's a really cool point about kind of using the data and the science behind it, right? Because it's an ongoing automation campaign, and you can kind of tweak it as you go. So you can see that one component isn't working, so you swap out the donuts for vitamins, and now you're getting metrics on how many people are taking the vitamins, right?
That's the big one, probably the ability to track ROI.
Okay, so let's talk for a second then about where this is headed in the future. I mean, let's talk about, you know, the Internet of Things and how this marketing stack integration becomes something that is not just purely digital, but it becomes a physical thing. You know, one of the cool things that we're working on around the office is we've got these different kind of robot animals, right? It's totally not a marketing piece, but they're connected to the web. And when something cool happens in our kind of our internal system, somebody signs for a new project, these robot animals start doing their things. We've got Symbol Monkey starts clapping. We have these different things that kind of celebrate these little victories. And, you know, while, again, not marketing, kind of a huge kind of rallying cry in the office. Like, people get excited. This happens. So how can we start to bridge this gap and kind of create this online, offline world using the marketing stack?
Yeah, I mean, it's the same concept that is used from website to website to website. Statistics, you know, obviously Google's got a great handle on that as far as where and when they can track things. But yeah, I think the folks that are really driving this is, are the consumer expectations. It's sort of like when I go to a store or Starbucks and they're out of something, I ask, well, why didn't they see that coming? Why don't they have that here? It's all the systems that are sort of backing the performance.
Yeah, and I think whether that's a B2B system that says, hey, this shelf is low or out of a certain item and starts to reorder it, or it's a B2C, you know, business to consumer product that my shoes link up with my, run tracker, which links up to the software, which et cetera, et cetera. You know, that may send a note to my doctor or what have you. That's where these things are going to, and it's blurring the lines of marketing. But as you put more of these systems, getting them to talk together, there's just more, exponentially more opportunity to see how we interact with the world around us, and then to measure it and improve on it. That's the goal.
Yeah, no, that's a really great point. You know, so rather than just thinking about this as purely a marketing tool, you know, and we have some physical thing that sends extra marketing to people, pushes other messaging to them. Like, let's use it to refine our process as a company, as a business, and use it to kind of increase the overall experience for the customer or whatever.
Yeah, I think the stack can help do all of that in a marketing sense, right? It enables you to do business more efficiently or easier, creates a better experience internally and externally. So to me, it's about delivering the value. You just do it in a more cohesive, integrated manner these days.
Very cool. Okay, well, I want to thank you guys for coming in.
Thank you.
You know, I maybe Craig will be back next week, but I kind of would rather just talk to you guys.
It's all right.
It's much better than talking to Craig. If you're interested in checking out more on the marketing stack, or if you want to just see a nice picture of Bruce, we got a video up on our website. We put together a bit.ly, so it's bit.ly/TTStack. So feel free to check that out, share that with people. And as always, don't forget to subscribe, iTunes, Stitcher. If you want to chat, connect with us on Twitter. We're at ThunderTech. We'd love to talk about marketing stack or whatever. So thanks again, guys.
Thanks, Justin.
And thanks for tuning in.